In our first reading today, we hear an account about Moses, who was just an absolutely amazing individual, a great hero of the Old Testament. And we see in the first reading one of the reasons why he's such an incredible spiritual leader of his people. We hear the account of God sending down a portion of his spirit upon the 70 elders. And these were men that were going to assist Moses in governing the people of Israel. And there's two other people who aren't there. They're in the camp. And they receive the spirit and start prophesying in the camp. And then Joshua is instantly jealous and he says, "Moses, stop them." And here's where we see why Moses is such a great spiritual leader. He's not concerned about his own authority or his own prominence. He doesn't say, "Oh, I didn't tell them to be doing this." His response is, "Would that all of the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit upon all of them." How incredible would it have been if every single one of the people in the camp of Israel, all 600,000 or however many there were, received this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's what Moses is thinking about in his mind. He's not concerned about his own ego or his own prominence. He desires his people to encounter God and to be in union with them. You know, his heart is much like the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He has a heart for his people. And he understood how important the spiritual well-being of his people was. He knew what was at stake. And Christ takes that to an even greater level in today's gospel when we look at things in the light of eternity. In the gospel, you know, Christ talks about eternity. He warns us of the unquenchable fire that awaits those who corrupt the morality of others, of the innocent, or those who die in a state of unrepentant sin, in a verse, you know, the kingdom of God. And eternity is, it can be an uncomfortable topic, and hell is certainly not a very popular topic today. A lot of people reject the existence of hell, but it's a topic that Christ actually speaks about a lot. And the reason why he speaks about it a lot is because he loves us and he doesn't want us to go there. And so he's trying to warn us not to follow the wrong path. You know, our Lord is certainly merciful and freely gives mercy to anyone who turns to him and asks for that mercy. But he's also just. And for people who commit evil or who corrupt the morals of others and those who reject mercy, you know, the fate that awaits them is eternal separation from God. And the unquenchable fire that he talks about, you know, the greatest pain of hell is actually our separation from God. You know, because God is the one who fulfills every desire of our hearts. And so to lose that for all eternity is what Christ is warning us against. You know, because it's a union with God that we're created for, and that's the only thing that can ultimately satisfy us. But I think as we reflect on this gospel, the important thing for us to do is to live our lives in this world with eternity in mind. You know, recognizing that that we need to prepare ourselves for eternity. And as Christ says in the gospel, we need to do whatever is necessary to obtain the kingdom of God. As he says in the gospel, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. You know, we need to do whatever is necessary to live a life of holiness. And one of the uncomfortable things as we reflect upon eternity and what Christ is talking about, you know, one of the uncomfortable things about that is if we think about how many people in our lives and in the world around us are not living in accord with the teachings of the church. You know, that can be a very disturbing topic to think about, you know, when we look at eternity. But I think it's important for us not to get discouraged by that, or not to get discouraged by the amount of evil that's around us, but to ask ourselves the question, what can we do about it? You know, if we recognize that there is eternal life and eternal death that awaits us in the next world, and if we recognize that so many people are not living in accord with the church's teachings, what can we do about that? And I think the answer is we can do incredible things right here in Logan County for ourselves, for our families, and for our local community. We may not be able to save the entire world or to fix every problem, you know, in the world around us, But we can do incredible things right here in Logan County. You know, imagine if there were an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and every single one of us in this church was praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, just like Moses envisioned for his people. Would that every single one of them were prophets? Imagine what would happen if every single one of us in this church were on fire with the Holy Spirit and desiring to lead people to Jesus Christ. Imagine the impact that that could have and how many people could be brought to salvation if every single one of us in this church were on fire with the Holy Spirit. Imagine how many people could be saved. And our parishes right here in Logan County, St. Mary of the Woods and St. Patrick, could be powerhouses for the kingdom of God. You know, we've started the evangelization initiative where we've been training small group leaders. And right now we have probably between 5 to 10 small groups that are meeting every single week. You know, imagine if we had 50 to 100 small groups. Imagine if we had 50 to 100 people who were leading these small groups, inviting people who were not Catholic or may not have even heard of Jesus Christ or may not be living according to his teachings. Imagine if we had 50 to 100 small groups that were inviting these people in and teaching them who Jesus Christ is. Imagine the impact that that could have and how many people could come to salvation. But I think what it takes on our part is, first and foremost, a choice not to embrace this world and not to live like everybody else in this world does. Because our culture is on the path of destruction. You know, if we look at our political system is collapsing because of immorality and the disorder that's there. You know, if we look at our families are in disorder. They're breaking apart. You know, we have major issues with drug and alcohol addiction and other addictions within our culture. There is something seriously wrong with our culture in the United States. So if we're living like everybody else is living, and if we're very comfortable in this culture, then there's a problem. You know, if we're consumed by work and sports and extracurriculars and watching TV and immersing ourselves in the media just like everybody else is doing, then we're going to end up in the same place that they are. But I think it's important for us to take a step back and ask ourselves, are we living our lives differently? Have we made a radical choice that we're not going to assimilate ourselves with this culture, but we're going to live in a different way? We're going to live for Jesus Christ. And so if the answer to that question is yes, we are living our lives in a different way, then great, we need to continue on that path. But if the answer is no, if we say, well, you know, I'm kind of living just like everybody else in the culture, then I think we need to reprioritize. And how do we do that? Well, I'll throw out a couple areas to reprioritize. One is who we spend our time with. Spend time with the most fervent person in your life, the person who inspires you to be a better Christian, someone who when you're around them, really inspires you in the faith. Spend time around that person. You know, expose yourself and your families to that person. Begin to form circles of friends around people who will inspire you in the faith. You know, second thing, is church, is our parish, and the faith the first priority in our lives? Or is this something that we just try and fit in when we're not at work or we're not, you know, running around with sports or extracurriculars? Is the faith actually the number one thing? You know, if we have the opportunity on Thursday nights, are we here at Mass and Adoration going to confession? You know, if we are able to, are we volunteering with St. Vincent de Paul? Are we engaging in the activities within our church that are going to nourish our faith? And the third thing I'd throw out would be prayer. We're beginning tomorrow, the month of October is the month of the rosary. You know, if we're not praying the rosary every day, I challenge you to take 20 minutes a day and pray the rosary. Our Lady, when she appeared at Fatima, asked all of us to pray the rosary every day. If we could pray the rosary every day for just 1 month, imagine if we could lead one soul to salvation. A few minutes a day for 1 month, wouldn't that be worth it 1,000 times over? And so, you know, if we don't have time to pray that the rosary a day, maybe we need to cut something else out of our life. And so, you know, I think it's a time for us to reprioritize. Are we spending time around people who are going to build us up in the faith? Is the church actually the center of our lives from which everything else is ordered and flows? Do we have a rich life of prayer? You know, as we look at these readings, as Christ reminds us about eternity, I think Moses gives us a good lesson to inspire us. Would that every single one of us were prophets. Would that every single one of us were filled with the Holy Spirit and on fire for the faith and bringing other people to Christ. Imagine how many people could be led to salvation if just our two parishes here in Logan County were on fire with the power of the Holy Spirit.